able to cut right through to our heart. So, Father, we ask through the work of your Spirit, you may give us ears that can hear, minds that can understand, and a will that can act upon what you'd have us hear and know tonight. In and for your glory. Amen. Well, even all, it's great to see you here. My name is Mark. For those of you who don't know me, I am the pastor of our sister church, St. Richard's, and we're nestled on the southern slopes of Crowborough in between the Herne and Alderbrook and Nightingale's estate. If you ever feel like dropping in, you're most welcome. You get a very warm, if not cosy, welcome. I think there was two seats free this morning, which is really encouraging. I'm going to start by asking you a question. If Christianity is true, will you believe it? If Christianity is true, will you believe it? And most of us here will respond to that question in one of three ways. For some of us, we will say, Mark, no. I simply will not believe it. I cannot believe it, even if it is true. Now, if that is you tonight, thank you for being here. I know it's not going to be easy to listen to something that you simply don't believe in. But before you switch off, this God that you just are not interested in, that you cannot accept, this definition of a God that you just find repulsive, well, check out the description of the God that's in our verses tonight. Because you may see, is this your God that you do not like? A God that does so many good things for his people. Could it be that you actually hate the wrong God? Others of us tonight will say yes, if it is true, and that's a big if. Now, if that's you tonight, well, again, thank you for being here, and listen up, because again, in the verses that we have read tonight, what will you find? You will find the meaning and purpose for our existence. We will find the source of stability and certainty in life and assurance of life that is afterlife. And if we can grasp what these verses mean, we might find our mind is blown. But I think the third response is what most of us will be here tonight. And it is, yes, Mark, I do believe, I trust, and I love the Lord Jesus Christ. But, and it's a big but, there have been events in my life that have caused me to question my faith. It's not been what I expected. I mean, if I am on God's side, why? Why does a friend of mine who has two young children find themselves diagnosed with inoperable cancer? Why did the husband of a Christian couple who I was so close to commit adultery? Why did my seven-year-old child die and my husband leave me? Why in this time when finances are so tight do I find I've lost my job for no reason whatsoever? Why am I finding myself battling between the choice of do I feed my kids, do I pay my rent, do I heat my house? Why am I stuck in a body or a mind that is so broken? Why is life so tough? Mark, I thought God was on my side. You know, we all experience times in our life that do cause us to question our faith and our trust. We ask those questions, why? I know Christianity is true. I know and trust the Lord Jesus Christ, but why? You know, and there are times when you can come up to me and explain your circumstance and say, Mark, why? And there is times when I'm just going to say, I don't know. I don't know. But what can we do in those moments? Well, we can turn and focus on what we do know. And in our passage tonight, we find out what we do know. Look at those first three words in verse 28. And we know. You know, when we don't know the answers to the questions that we have in our life, there is incalculable comfort to be found in focusing on what we do know. And in a sense, if you're going to take anything from tonight, may it be a phrase like this: when lost in what we don't know, let's find direction in what we do know. When lost in what we don't know, let's find direction in what we do know. And from verses 28 to 29, what do we know? We know that God is working in us. Did you see that? Verse 28, for we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. And what we have here is an amazing promise of our God. Do you know, if you're going to get one of those bands, write this promise on that band, have it on your wrist. This is the promise of God, that all things work for good. Do you know, my late mum spent years crafting this tapestry. This tapestry. From a distance, it looks all right, doesn't it? You could probably work out what castle it is. Some of you may even visited this castle. But if I was to turn it round, I'm not going to take the back off. But you know what you're going to find when you take the back off, don't you? There's going to be loose ends. There's going to be bits where she made a hole. There's a bit where she got so fed up with it, the tea went over it. Yeah, you know, things like that. You're going to find something of the effort that it went in to make what ultimately became quite a masterpiece, and it did take her years, literally, to do this. I'll cover that, otherwise you'll look at it for the next half hour. Sorry, Kathy. There are times when we look at our life, and it's a bit like a tapestry, but we look at it from the back. Yes, we can see something of the picture, something of the masterpiece, but there are all those loose ends, those hardships, when things go wrong, the mistakes that we make, and a bit of a mess. But from God's perspective, he sees the whole picture from the beginning right through to the masterpiece at the end. And he also knows the effort that that will take. So what that will mean from our perspective in life is that God does permit us to go through really good times, great times. But he also has a purpose in the times that are tough, that are discouraging, disheartening, and depressing. We don't always know why. But you know what? We can take comfort in knowing that God is supremely in charge of this world. That he promises that all the things that happen, both good and bad, are ordered in such a way that they serve our good. However, I wonder if you notice in this passage that this promise isn't actually a universal promise. It's not actually to everyone. This promise applies to specific people. For whom does God work for the good? Look at verse 28 again. It is those who love God, those who have been called according to his purpose. So that means if you're not yet a Christian here tonight, you can't actually apply this promise to you yet. But if we look closely at these verses will also tell us how we can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ for ourselves. Now, may I ask a question of the ladies in this house? This is more sort of your street. How do you respond to a guy when he keeps trying to get your attention? He is besotted with you, and you are just not besotted with him. Now, I dare say for a while you sort of push off his interests, but then you have that card that you can play that just destroys a man's heart. I love you as a friend. I've had that. I've also played that card as well. It worked. Now, how's that guy going to respond? How's he going to respond? He might just keep pestering you, but if he really loves you, what is he going to do? He is actually going to give you space and back off. Yeah, he might still send you flowers and a Valentine's card, but he will respect your choice because he loves you. God doesn't force us to love him. That's the definition of love, isn't it? Love has to be freely given. But God does show his love, that he does love us. He makes sure that we know that he is there. He makes sure that we know that he loves us dearly and learns for us to respond to him. But we need to ultimately know that God will eventually, as it were, lock in our final answer and back off. And our response to God here has an effect on our relationship with God, both now in this promise and also with our relationship in the world to come. Of course, those who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ get to be with him in eternity for all time. But for those who don't, because God's not going to force his love upon you, he has also created a place for those who don't love him. And so in eternity, we'll either be with him in the love and the glory of his presence, or outside the love of his glory and presence. This promise is amazing, but it only applies to those who know and love him. The problem is our nature. By nature, we are repulsed by God. We're just not interested in God. Paul's already said in chapter 3, verse 11, there is no one who seeks God as ourselves. So how can we then come to love God? Well, if I may pop over into a letter that John wrote. John wrote in 4:19, says, we... Forgive me, I can't actually see my notes in this light. Sorry about that. I need a pair of glasses. Can I borrow anybody's glasses here? What I do, I write the Bible in green, so I know it's biblical, and I just cannot read the green in this light. I'm so sorry. God works for the... Sorry, next bit. 1 John 4:19 says, we now love God because he first loved us. The love of God is such that he works in us that we might respond to his love. God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his promise. And the word called here is an interesting one. It's not just a cooey, it's God here. It's not. The called here is the very words that the Lord Jesus Christ said when he raised Lazarus from the dead. He says, Lazarus, come out. And his command of the Lord Jesus Christ is so effective, so authoritative, that even the dead obey, and Lazarus walked out, and he's now very much alive. Left to our own devices, we have no interest in God whatsoever. Blinded we're blinded from his advances, we just don't see them. We are dead as Lazarus was towards God. But when Jesus calls us, his voice is so irresistible, so effective, so compelling, that we just fall on our knees in awe of this God. And I guess many of us here know something of this. I grew up going to church, going to youth club. Actually, I was involved in churches in Crowborough and Tunbridge Wells. I think I was coming into contact with the things of Jesus up to 5-6 times a week. And it was still after 16 years that this was just in one ear and out the other. But then one time, like a slap in the face that really arrested me, I could hear as if God was speaking directly to me, I am here, I love you, you need to respond to me. And we do respond when we hear his voice. We recognize that Jesus is our King. We realize that we have offended him. We repent of our sin, saying sorry for the things we have done. And we respond in love and commitment to him. The penny drops, and we become aware of this love of God, a God who so loved me that he gave his only son for me, who willingly came on this earth, giving up all the glory of heaven for me, who lived a perfect life, earning a righteousness that ultimately he would give freely to me, who then took from me my sin and my transgression as if his own, and paid the price for it on the cross for me, that I might have eternal life with him. Such is the love of our God. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my love, my life, and my all. The people God calls are those who love him, who know the promise that all things work together for good. Yet what is this good? What is it all heading towards? What is the ultimate purpose of this promise? Those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. God works in us so that we become more like Jesus. Now I do need to pause here for a moment. I'm going to have a drink. Because I know some of you here would love to throw a couple of landmines in front of me because of two words in here. One is foreknowledge, and the other one is predestination. And these are highly contentious, aren't they? This paradox between the free will of God, which most people seem to forget, and the free will of man and our choice. These are hotly debated, aren't they? But please note that predestination that is mentioned here is not referring to how God has chosen those who have been saved. It's referring to the destiny that is being appointed to those who will be saved. The purpose of the promise to the people God calls is that they may be like Christ. And the foreknowledge of God here does not mean that he looked into the future as it were through a crystal ball, that he saw the choices that we would make on our own to follow him, and therefore he in the past chooses us on account of the choice we would make. That's not what foreknowledge means here either. The foreknowledge here is pointing to a choice in the past. Before someone is created, God chose them to be objects of his mercy. God, without external reference, he is truly free in his will. Without any bias, according to his free will, chooses whom he will call. He unconditionally sets his favor upon whoever he calls. And God destines them for their glorious role in eternity, to be like Christ. To be brothers and sisters in Christ. Isn't that awesome? If we can grasp this concept, the choice of God, the appointing of God, that gives us incredible confidence when we face whatever happens in our life. We can truly say all things are working for good to those who love God, who have been called according to his purpose to be like Christ. The purpose of the promise to the people God calls is that they may be like Christ. And becoming like Christ has two perspectives to it. It is both in our life in this world and in the world to come. As we exist now, we are made in the image of God, in his likeness. But as we all know, that is marred by sin. In eternity, we shall be like Christ. That's an incredible promotion to what we should be like. We will be the brothers and sisters of Christ. That is a great hope that we all have. And if you want to know more about how God works in terms of making us more like Christ in this world, then look back over the series that we did in 1 Peter earlier in the year. Go onto YouTube, search All Saints, and if you want a specific one, then look for the one on the 22nd of May, where we thought about from A to B, we're becoming more like Christ. On the way to glory, from the time we accept Christ to the time we are buried, through the Spirit's work, we become more like Christ. Have a look at that sermon at another time. And if you want to know what we're going to be like in glory, well, do you know what? We don't know fully. And this is what John wrote. I like John's letters. Dear friends, we are the children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. In the ups and downs of life, we can take comfort in knowing that God is working in us. He promises that all things work together for our good, for the people who respond to the call of God and love him and have faith in him, for the purpose of becoming more like Christ. God is also working for us. Now, a moment's pause for those who like to know how a structure of a section works. So verses 28, 29 and 30. 28 has the great promise of God, the promise that is promised to those who are called according to his purpose. Verse 29 then works out that purpose, and verse 30 then fills out that call. Now, mate, let me ask you a pub quiz question. How would you complete the next phrase? Once you've popped, you can't stop. Yes. Now hold that thought for a moment, those of you who love Pringles. In a way, this is the thought that we have in verse 30. You want to know how it is sure and certain that we will get to glory? It's because once God has started, he cannot stop. What God promises for you will come true. It doesn't quite have the ring of if you can't pop, you can stop, is it? But what God promises for you will come true. And if we needed any more proof that all things work together for good for those who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, this is it. Because once all that God promises for us will come true. For all God has predestined, that's an act in the past. God will call an event that is in their present. All God calls in their present, God will justify. That is justified on the basis that an event that took place in the past when the Lord Jesus Christ died and rose again, that is applied to each person who loves the Lord in their present and guarantees their future. All God justifies, he will then also glorify. An event that takes part in the future. Predestined, called, justified, glorified. What God promises for you will come true. Something in the past, in your present, for your future. In a way, we've already looked about what God means by predestination. We've also thought briefly about what it means to be called. We've also thought about briefly what it thinks about glorified. If you want to know more about what it means to be justified, then again, I'm going to get you to go on YouTube. 27th of February, indeed, in the morning. 27th of February this year, in the evening, in fact. Have a look. We looked at how can I stand before a holy God? And we thought about justification then. So how come all things work together for good? Because God appoints you before the beginning of time to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. He will summon you sometime during your life. And because God has summoned you, he will declare you righteous in his sight. That is, he will forgive you of all that you are and give you all that you need to be. And because God declares you worthy to be in his presence, when you pass into eternity, you shall be with Christ and like Christ. All that God has promised for you will come true. Well, the events in life and around our life can be truly perplexing. We can easily get lost in what we don't know. But in times like that, we'll maybe find direction in what we do know. We know that God is working in us and God is working for us. We know the promise of God, that all things work together for good. A promise to the people who love him and who have been called by him. Called for the purpose of them becoming like Christ through the process that they then experience through their lives. And ultimately justified through the work of Christ. So that when they go into his presence, they will be with him in the perfection of glory. In a way, that's our mind blown. Amen. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for the wonder of your word. May we really, in those dark times, those times of trouble and trial, may we know that all things do work together for good to those who love you, who have been called by you. And we know that is true because what you have promised to each one of us is to come true through Jesus. In your name, amen.